Earlier this week, papers documenting 30 years of the political career of Arkansas politician Dale Bumpers were opened to researchers. Ozarks at-large's Kyle Kellums attended the ceremony, which was held inside Mullins Library on the University of Arkansas campus. Here's his report.
Dale Bumpers' stamp on politics in the second half of the 20th century is a bold one. He guided Charleston, Arkansas, to be the first school district in the South to integrate while he was city attorney there. Later, he served as Arkansas's governor and was elected to four terms in the U.S. Senate. Consider the names around his career. He defeated Orville Faubus in the 1970 gubernatorial primary and Winthrop Rockefeller that year in the general election. He was succeeded in the governor's mansion by first David Pryor, then Bill Clinton. And he defeated J. William Fulbright in the Democratic primary for the Senate in 1974. The collected papers of his career were formally opened at the University of Arkansas Library, finishing a three-year process that resulted in the cataloging of more than 1,000 boxes of papers. University of Arkansas Provost Sharon Gabbard says it's fitting the papers are at Senator Bumpers' alma mater, in part because of his commitment to higher education.
Dale Bumpers understood the relationship and the correlation between research and scientific advancement. If this country had the highest quality of life in the world, it was because it also had the highest quality of research. He understood how important government research dollars were in curing childhood illnesses such as polio, hepatitis, measles, and mumps. Senator Bumpers' interests were also closely rooted in the land, how we care for it, what we grow on it, and what we provide for prosperity.
The provost estimates Senator Bumpers was responsible for more than $80 million in funds directly benefiting the university and the state of Arkansas. Senator Bumpers couldn't attend yesterday's formal opening of his papers, but his longtime political colleague and friend David Pryor was there and remembered a speech delivered by Bumpers in the Senate just after Senator Bumpers had retired. It was the closing speech of the Clinton impeachment trial.
Dale was called back into service after he had just left the Senate. He had only been out of the Senate for about 3 weeks or 2 weeks when his colleagues called him back to make the case, the final argument, in the Bill Clinton impeachment trial in the Senate. Barbara and I were traveling, but we got back home just in time in Little Rock to turn on CNN, turn on C-SPAN, I guess it was, and watch Dale Bumpers give that wonderful oration. And I can still quote from memory some parts of it. I will not do it now. I hope you will avail yourself of the opportunity to go to the archives and let Tim Nutt play you a rendition of Dale Bumpers' speech in the impeachment trial. One thing I do remember, though, that immediately upon the completion of that speech from Little Rock, I kept trying to call Dale Bumpers home in Bethesda to tell him what a magnificent job he had done. Finally, after the lines were busy all of this time, I finally reached Dale. He picked up the phone about 10 o'clock at night, about 9 o'clock that our central time in Little Rock. And I said, Dale, this is David. I just wanted you to know that this was perhaps the finest speech ever given on the floor of the United States Senate. He responded typical Bumpers fashion, I'm inclined to agree with you. So that was his response to my accolade that I was trying to send his way.
The papers include notes, letters, legislative drafts, and correspondence. Tim Nutt, the head of special collections for the University of Arkansas Libraries, says every word, photograph, and item was inspected, cataloged, and annotated. He says there is history in each volume, from the end of the Cold War to the effort Bumpers led to save the Manassas battlefield from development.
Also in the collection, you can find materials on Star Wars. No, not the movie, but the Strategic Defense Initiative proposed by President Reagan in 1983. Throughout his tenure on Capitol Hill, Senator Bumpers logged hundreds of hours in service on committees, and his time there is represented well in this collection. There's even some material on one of the senator's first legislative victories, Right Turn on Red.
A collection such as the Bumpers papers also includes three-dimensional objects, what archivists term ephemera. This collection includes shovels from groundbreakings, plaques, and other commemorative items. There is also a pair of red and white shoes, a pair that would only be worn by the bravest of Razorback fans. Those shoes are explained in another piece of the collection.
While organizing this collection, we came across a letter from President Bill Clinton to Senator Bumpers. In 1997, Clinton wrote, "I can well recall cooling my heels in your office, waiting hours on end to heed the wise senior senator's always honest and often blunt counsel. I'm still upset about your not selling me those wonderful red and white patent leather Razorback shoes I'd try on in your reception area."
David Pryor pointed out that a discussion of the career of Dale Bumpers is incomplete without also talking about Betty Bumpers, the senator's wife and the founder of the organization Peace Links and a strong advocate for health issues.
Public health, vaccinations for every child in Arkansas, and ultimately around her kitchen table in Bethesda, Maryland, the formation during the bleakest times of the Cold War. The war, a worldwide organization of women dedicated to talking to one another, listening to one another, and reasoning as women and mothers rather than shooting at one another. This was Peace Links, and it was Betty Bumpers' concept of bringing peace to a very troubled time in our world. It was highly successful. This was Betty Bumpers' partial legacy.
Although Senator Bumpers was unable to attend the Wednesday afternoon event, he did write a letter that was shared by Archie Schaefer, a former staff member for Bumpers during his time as governor and senator.
"The bottom line is this collection is so much more than papers. It is a study of what I worked on, and even more so of the times in which I served. You won't find much on email, because email didn't exist until my final few years, and Twitter was only what birds did. Although times have changed rapidly since I left the Senate, my years there were some of the most dramatic in our country's history. The Vietnam War ended my first year. Nelson Rockefeller was the newly minted vice president after Spiro Agnew's resignation, who swore me into office. 5 months prior to my swearing in, Gerald Ford had succeeded to the presidency after Richard Nixon's departure. Although I did not realize it at the time, I was living a major sea change in our country's history. My collection contains my vote on the Panama Canal. It was very controversial and helped shape, rightly or wrongly, the outcome of the 1980 elections. I could reminisce further, and if I were with you in person, I'm sure I would. I will close by stating my belief that collections such as these are important because they are windows to the past and help us better understand how we got to the present and what is possible in the future."
The formal opening means researchers, scholars, and reporters can now have access to those papers. And the collection joins others in the U of A special collections, such as the papers of Joe T. Robinson, David Pryor, and the first woman to ever serve in the U.S. Senate, Hattie Caraway.
Ozarks at Large's Kyle Kellums filed that report for a daily edition of Ozarks earlier this week.